Final half hour, Canada versus Switzerland coming up. The pregame show right here on TSN Radio. And, of course, you'll be able to see it across the TSN platforms. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Dave Festruck of the Toronto Star, Frankie Corrado in here. Frank, you and I were just talking about this on during the break. William Nylander trends on Twitter every single day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know why someone will
tweet something, some kind of stat, and then it explodes, right? Yeah. And then there's big arguments in Leafs Twitter. I see Kerfoot. Like, Kerfoot is constantly trending.
Yeah, Kerfoot does come up a lot. Like, the two of them have not played a game in months. As far as I know, they're not in the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
Kerfoot, I guess there's a possibility he could get flipped. Like, I think the Kerfoot trend is... Do they trade him? And if so...
Or why haven't they traded him?
Why haven't they traded him?
Like, I'll tell you what. Like, I was at a stag, like, 3 or 4 weeks ago, right after the show. And someone comes up to me, Italian guy from my neck of the woods. He goes, hey, you guys do a three-hour show? He goes, you'd be talking about the Leafs for 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well, what are we talking about for 3 hours in the middle of August?
Like, yeah, what? We don't have any content. Anything fresh.
Nylander trending is the big story in Toronto in terms of the Maple Leafs.
That's all we got.
I have no reasoning for why he's trending. But you see it too, Dave, I'm sure. It's just constant. Oh, it's William Nylander.
Well, I mean, if you're taking the pulse of people that care about the team, right? And I was at a big birthday party on the weekend, and there were a lot of Leaf fans there. And I guess if I could distill the feeling, it's like, if you don't change anything, then how is anything going to change,
mm-hmm.
right? If you essentially just keep bringing back the same team and maybe worse goaltenders too, how do you expect anything to change? And so I think people are waiting for some kind of a move that would signal some real change rather than the sort of nibbling around the edges they've done forever.
But it's not going to happen now.
No, and
like,
I guess the thought is the change is going to come from within, right? Like you're going to change a little bit of how you play. I don't think they need to change too much. The one thing that I would like to see is can you just... Your bottom two lines, can they play a little different than the top two lines, right? Like Matthews and Marner, they can make the plays, they can do the pull up, they can do Nylander, Tavares, those guys, that's their bread and butter, that's their wheelhouse. But if you're on the third line, if you're on the fourth line, drop your shoulder, puck to the net, like drive middle, like it needs to be a simple game for those guys. I can't watch Pierre Engvall pull up three times in a game because you're 6'5", you're 220 pounds, you're sculpted like a Greek god. Like, you need to play a different style of hockey than Matthews and Marner.
Yeah,
but he's not going to.
No.
But there's the change, Dave. Like, maybe there's the change. Maybe training camp, you come in and there's a little more of a different philosophy as far as what you're going to teach, what you're going to preach to those guys in the lineup.
It's very simple. Sheldon Keefe is Lou Brown. Pierre Engvall is Roger Dorn. Anytime you pull up, you owe me 20 push-ups, if not more than that. And if you have to be abrasive about it, you be abrasive about it. I mean, you got to do it. You got to have a different message.
Right.
Like, I don't know what the messaging is. We're not privy to it. They'll come up with a team slogan like every team in the league does. That's not what we're talking about. There has to be some sort of tape review, I would think. But I'm not sure that they think that way. Because
don't think that.
No, they think, hey, respect in the handshake line, and that would have been us.
But if you watch,
we get a break in Game 6, we would have been in the Cup final.
If you watch the rest of the playoffs, didn't you see how hard it was to create chances, to generate chances?
Of course,
and sometimes you just need to manufacture it with just a little bit of easy, simple plays and some grit. And Matthews and Marner, Nylander, they can do whatever they want offensively because they're gifted and they should have free reign to do whatever they want. Everyone else needs to play pretty simple and a little more gritty.
Well, especially with the guys who are in net for you. Like, the idea that's what comes up first for me. Secondarily, it's the nothing's changed. Are you surprised by that? Where are the Leafs going? But Murray and Samsonov in net.
Yeah.
Like, when I speak with people just, you know, anecdotally out and about doing whatever it is, it's always, what do you make of Matt Murray? What do you make of Matt? It's like people are still in shock.
Yeah.
That Murray and Samsonov are the tandem, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to continue to be. So
there's potential. Like there is.
Of course there's potential.
It could, on paper, right now,
it is not a positive situation.
Well, based on the seasons that both of them had,
it's
not promising. But we know how quick things can turn. One of them gets off to a hot start.
Yeah.
Takes the ball and runs with it and... We're looking at it saying, wow, what a shrewd move.
Hey, listen, if Matt Murray can find comfort in the playoffs, which he has not had in Ottawa because they don't make the playoffs,
yeah,
then ultimately that is all that matters.
Yeah.
And that is all that needed, is the team gets to the playoffs and then Matt Murray finds a way to trigger past success, which he has had multiple times. I'll believe it when
I
see it.
I mean, at least he's done it, right?
He's done it.
He's got the two Stanley Cup rings. You can't take those away from him. They're far in the distance, though, is the issue. And there's been a lot of baggage between then and now. It's a big question. But I love what you're saying, Frankie and Hayes. But, you know, everything I took from the season-ending, you know, state of the team address from Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas was that they don't think they need to change anything.
No.
They just need to change their luck and maybe their opponent. If it wouldn't have been those dastardly Tampa Bay Lightning they were up against, they would have beaten almost anybody else. And I think that's a dangerous way to think, because guess what? You've lost to really crappy teams in Montreal and Columbus in previous years, and not much has changed since.
No, I think their offseason would suggest that. If they flip a guy like Kerfoot, it's because of the cap.
Yes.
It's not because of an assessment of Alex Kerfoot. It's because they have to find money for Sandin. But they are coming back with effectively the exact same core.
It's the same core.
Different goaltending.
Yeah.
Which is big.
I could look at it this way. Like the Vancouver Canucks, when they lost in 2011, then they lost again in 2012 in the first or second round, Mike Gillis decided that the team needed a philosophical change. And he started doing that. He started making the transition. We had just saw the LA Kings, the Boston Bruins win with that, you know, big rough style hockey. And he decided to make a change. I thought at the time, maybe like, because the Vancouver Canucks and Mike Gillis, they had a staff and a whole way of hockey that this is the way we play and this is it. And he decided at that time that we're going to move away from that. And Toronto at this time is saying, no, we have the Toronto way. We're going to stick with it. And maybe it's a minor tweak, but that's all we're doing.
No, they're
here.
Puck committed. Yeah. They are absolutely puck. And it's not as if they're puck committed with 7-2 offsuit. That's not the hand they have.
No, they have
but
good players.
They don't have aces, right? Like they're not, but even aces can get cracked. I think what we're saying here is, Shanahan and Dubas believe they had aces that got cracked.
Yeah.
That's what they believe.
Yeah.
They believe they have pocket aces that got cracked.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that's the case, and I certainly don't believe it's the case with the goaltending that they currently have. But it's not a 7-2 offsuit. Like, it's definitely not. It might be a pair of Jacks, you know, a pair of Queens. Very good team.
Yeah.
Very good team. But certainly not the cream of the crop. Right, and
but that's the thing. Even if they have a bit of a down year, they're still going to be in the playoffs.
They should, yes. Although, look at what we said about the Blue Jays 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And they are grinding. Sports can be very unpredictable. Crazy things happen.
Well,
but I wouldn't
bet
Frankie, on them.
You
missing.
Made the point earlier in the offseason, Frankie. You talk about the third and fourth line playing differently. That second line wasn't much use for a lot of big moments either.
You couldn't play them together.
And so. You know, a couple injuries here and there. That second line doesn't figure it out. John Tavares gets a little worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it is going to happen. I'm saying it's not another. Like, Tampa Bay Lightning missed the playoffs at some point in this run where they've gone from being in a cup final to winning two cups. There was a year in there where they missed the playoffs.
Yep.
It happens.
Vegas just missed it. Everyone thought Vegas was a lock last year. A lock. They just missed.
The hope is that Tavares has been healthy, doesn't have any ailments, and listen, he's not going to be the fastest guy, but can he be a little faster than he was last year? Because that'll help. Nylander, keep him engaged. I still think there's a hole on that second line. We'll see who can kind of fill that as camp and the season goes on, but this is who they got. This is who they got. This is who they're going with. I don't think Kerfoot is a second-line left winger.
No.
I thought maybe Nino Niederreiter would have fit the bill there, but you need to move money, and you can't do it. It seems like the most impossible thing to do in the NHL. It's ridiculous that we're talking about, you know, one of the top four professional sports league in the world, and we see all the movement in the NFL, all the movement in the NBA. We just saw one of the biggest trades in MLB history, and we're talking about the NHL where you can't move $3.5 million. And you have to move that money, and you can't move it.
It's
ridiculous. It's a hard cap, and it's COVID that's impacted everything.
It is, and that's why if you're paying a goalie $4.6 million, he better give you that value.
Yep.
Like that, the Matt Murray, if Murray's a disaster or is unhealthy and can't play, you know, or doesn't bring value to your team, and you had to either shave players off or couldn't go out and acquire players because of that $4.6 million, that's going to be tough pill to swallow, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We are just over 3 weeks away from opening night. Three Thursdays from tomorrow. 3 weeks tomorrow, the Bills will be in L.A. playing the Rams. We established this earlier today. The Bills are 2.5-point favorites. They're favored to win that game as of today. We had the chance to catch up with Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, earlier today. We began by asking him, And I feel like this is, you're talking about either kids or pro athletes asking if they're happy and healthy. Are the kids happy and healthy? Same thing I think happens in training camps, especially the physical nature of the NFL. So we began by asking him how the players are feeling. Is everyone happy? Is everyone healthy down at Orchard Park?
Well, you know, it's that time of year. The guys are competing. We're scuffling with each other because we're ready to hit somebody else. It's that point of camp. But we got some, you know, some guys nursing some things from the game the other day. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we're trending in the right direction.
Is that what offers the most stress for you as a GM? I'm sure you can speak for the coaches as well, making sure everyone gets through each day healthy in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, when there's a pile up, just like on the freeway, when there's a pile up, you're anxiously awaiting. Hopefully, everybody gets up and all their limbs are intact and in order, no issues.
So, in terms of, you know, fighting each other and possibly joint practices, you see fights every day on social media. Is there any positive there in terms of intensity, energy on the field? Like, can you spin it in some sort of a positive manner that your players are, you know, so rambunctious and raring to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, you want guys that want it badly, and it generally comes, if it comes from a competitive spirit, you know, you don't want anybody to do anything dumb to hurt themselves or hurt their teammate, but, you know, these guys are competitive. They want to win, and, you know, things happen. You know, someone feels the other one got the best of them or did something, or obviously sometimes it can build up. Teammates are talking trash, and then somebody feels someone crossed the line with a harder hit. You know, if you're in a thud period where you're not taking them down, sometimes the guy gets hit the wrong way, goes to the ground, and that leads to some things. So as long as it's in a good nature, and most importantly, that it, when you walk off the field, it doesn't carry into the locker room. Those are when you have issues. But I would be a little nervous if we went through a whole training camp and we didn't have some scuffles.
For sure, Brandon. And I imagine you want to see guys being competitive out there, but I imagine you also want to see guys make it to week one. And what goes into your decisions as far as whether to play guys or to rest guys throughout the preseason?
Yeah, you know, Sean and I, every year we've kind of just taken a different approach. You know, preseason now we're in the second year of this three games instead of four games. So last year was, you know, 2 years ago was COVID. There was no preseason. So I feel like it's been changing for various reasons, you know, different years. So, but I think the best thing you do is take your team and you figure out what they need. What do your starters need? Where is your quarterback at? I mean, obviously, with Josh in his first few years, he needed reps. Like, you can't get him enough reps. So you're playing him in, you know, almost all the preseason. Whereas now, you know, he's going into year five. He's had so many live reps. You don't feel like he's behind the way he was in those first couple of years. And also it depends on, you know, how's your offensive line? Like, putting your quarterback out there, do you feel we can protect him? Because the other team, it's not practice. It's not a scrimmage. It's for real. So you take all those things into consideration when you're kind of piecing it together. And so we actually – I just walked out of a meeting, us discussing, you know, our plan for this week and for next week. I think we got a good plan. We'll lay it out and see how it goes.
With Brandon Bean, GM of the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen has really been spectacular since he stepped into the league. And last year, we know how his season ended, going back and forth the way that he did and putting up just incredible numbers. So in terms of a message to him, or maybe outwardly a message to the rest of the football world, what would you suggest is the next step? What could we possibly see that would lead the football world to say, wow, that's a new, improved, and better Josh Allen, considering how great he was a year ago?
Well, I think, you know, every year is a new year. You can get in a role, and it's you're not going to be, you know, he was obviously, you know, on a heater, you know, in the postseason last year. I don't think it's fair to say every postseason or he's going to start right where he picked up. You know, every team's a new team. The vibe, the comfort, in the offense, you know, nothing stays the same. And that's kind of the motto for our team this year. We don't get to start, you know, with 10 wins or start with, you know, with a playoff game or anything like that. It's a new team, a new season, and nothing, you know, nothing changes for Josh as well. I think, you know, it starts with winning our division, which, you know, he knows and our teammates know the importance of that, getting a home game. And, you know, again, every week we're in a different, you know, deal. Now we're not hunting, we're the hunted. And I think we learned last year that if you don't bring your A game every week, you can lose. And we kind of went on that little skid of win a game, lose a game. And ultimately it kept us from getting a higher seed, which, you know, could have meant more home playoff games.
Brandon, do you feel like you've addressed everything that you wanted to address this offseason?
I mean, you know, listen, we felt like we hit a lot of holes, but we're always looking. You know, I don't think you're ever going to hear me say, man, we knocked it out of the park. We filled all the holes. We're always looking to either upgrade the starter or upgrade the backup, find ways to make, you know, more I talked about it earlier with fights and practice, making every position as competitive possible. You know, I like our depth, but ultimately we'll still pay attention here, you know, the next few weeks of preseason and see if there's other players that we think could add to the competition. And you know, and then well into the season, you know, if we feel like we're injured or we're not getting the right play, we'll look around and see how we can, you know, make that better, you know, so that we can finish strong.
How do you feel Von Miller has fit into the group early in camp, and he comes with incredible name value, future Hall of Famer, multiple Super Bowls. What are you hoping he brings to your defense this year?
Yeah, Vaughn's been great. I mean, anytime you can add a guy who's a first ballot Hall of Famer with his pedigree and has won two Super Bowls, it's hard to find guys, you know, as talented as him that's won two Super Bowls that you can get your hands on. And so to get him here has been great. He's been everything we've asked for. We've got some young, you know, pass rushers. And so, you know, the thought was let's marry Vaughn up with these guys. Not only Vaughn's going to bring his skill set, but hopefully he can pour into these guys. And he's done that. He's done a great job, you know, in the spring and then even in training camp, of sharing his knowledge, how he did things, counter moves, what to anticipate in this situation. And so to this point, he's been a great addition, and we're excited we have him.
With Brandon Bean, GM of the Buffalo Bills, I'm always curious how, you know, GMs approach a training camp, considering there's so many different players that you know, would be classified in different areas. In other words, you've got rookies who are showing up for the first time. You've got bubble players who are just trying to make maybe the practice squad, let alone the actual 53-man roster. Then you have stars who you know are playing. We know Josh Allen's making the team. We know Stephon Diggs is making the team, Von Miller. So of the latter group there, the veterans who you know are going to be a part of this, what do you ask out of them throughout camp? What do you believe needs to be brought to the table by those players?
Well, I think those guys are your leaders. You know, with no doubt, with how good Josh played last year that we talked about, and the good start to his career, what Steph's done since he's been here, you know, going into year three now, and then, you know, Vaughn's presence in the team, those guys set the tone. And it's not by what they say, you know, it is sometimes, but generally it's by what they do. And you know, those three guys and a lot of our other vets, Micah, Jordan, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, all those guys, they set the tone. They show up every day. They practice hard. You know, if they're healthy, they're out there. They're not looking for days off, things like that. And competitiveness. Again, this is the third time we're hitting on the call. Going out there and competing your butt off, we got to make each other better, you know, for a long season. And it starts in camp. You've got to have a competitive camp if you want to get yourself ready, you know, for the gauntlet of 17 games.
Brandon, what can you tell us about Matt Araiza, a.k.a. the punt god, the sixth-round pick from this year? You know, we see videos of him hitting 82-yard punts. Like, what can you tell us about this guy and the decision to draft him?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not everyone's most exciting position to draft. People sometimes say you shouldn't draft, you know, a punter or a kicker. But, you know, we just look at his draft, good players. And Matt's a confident kid. Obviously, he has a strong leg. And, you know, we watched him through the process and saw him at the combine. He's a kid that's very confident, believes he can do it. You know, the biggest question we had, you know, on Matt was he hadn't really ever held. And getting him in here, working him with Tyler Bass and making sure, because that's such an important piece, you know, making sure you're meshing, understanding, having the feel, the athleticism, the hands, and doing it exactly in pressure moments, you know, the way Tyler wants the ball held. And so it was cool for his first game for Tyler to have that walk-off kick the other day, for Matt to be the one to be out there, and he made a great hold, and obviously Tyler made the kick. But He's got a really good leg. You know, consistency will be his biggest key. You saw the other day what he can do when he hits it. It's just making sure it's consistent from a hang time, you know, and also a direction. So, but we're excited about Matt and where he's heading.
What we love about Buffalo up here is, you know, it's always got a chip on its shoulder. It's a small market that is loud, though, and they love their Bills, they love their Sabres, and they're always looking for national attention. And I think it was difficult for the Bills to get that, as you would know, Brandon, when you went, you know, almost 20 years without making the playoffs, let alone winning the playoff games. But that has happened recently with you guys winning multiple rounds, and now you're starting the season opening night in L.A., do you take pride in that? The fact that clearly the rest of the football world, the TV marketing departments are like, we need the Bills on national TV opening night. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want. You want to build a team that's respectable on the field, off the field, has good players, exciting brand of football to watch, not only in the stands here in Orchard Park, but, you know, but on national TV. So, you know, I don't like getting home in the middle of the night personally. I like those 1 o'clock games, but if you get too many 1 o'clock games, you don't stay employed in my position, because that means you're not very good. So it's exciting, you know, for our team and our city and our franchise to be, you know, on that opening Thursday. And I know our guys will be fired up when we get out to L.A.
Yeah, we can't wait for it up here as well. Good luck getting through camp and opening night. I'm sure we'll do this down the road. Thank you, Brandon.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you soon.
There he is, Brandon Bean, GM of the Buffalo Bills. 2.5-point favorites opening night in L.A.
Wow.
And he's right. If your team's playing at 1 o'clock every week, you're not very good.
Yeah.
You're not very good.
Yeah.
Right? You want to be prime time. And Buffalo, they got a chip on their shoulder. They've got some inferiority complex going, considering New York and other big markets throughout the states. It's big that the Bills are playing opening night. Like, they went years without any primetime games. Years, because they were just so bad and so irrelevant. I mean, you're from St. Catharines. You know what's up down there, Dave. Like, this is big in Buffalo that they're playing opening night. Huge.
Oh,
in LA.
It's massive. And look, I mean, you do worry a little bit about this, as somebody who grew up, you know, tailgating in Orchard Park and watching those four teams go to Super Bowls and be denied. You worry a little bit about the fact that suddenly you're the overdog. Suddenly you're the favorites. Suddenly you're going to L.A. and, you know, you got to give a couple of points on opening night, even though those guys won the whole thing last year.
Right.
That's the one thing about this year that worries me a touch. I have no doubt that Josh Allen can live up to it. I have no doubt that, you know, guys like Von Miller will not be fazed by it. But there's a whole roster there, and there's a whole town that thrives on being the underdog, and suddenly they're not.
Suddenly they're not. No, that's for sure. All right, time now for our best bets, brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The Yankees are favored tonight. They have lost 8 of their last 10. They've lost a couple in a row. They're not in a good place, but the odds are moving too far in the opposite direction. They're at home against Tampa. Tampa's a good team. They're not a great team. You're only laying -134. The Yankees are still going to win ball games. I'll take the Yankees tonight. Under Mets, Braves, Odorizzi against Scherzer. That's going to be a pitching duel, I believe, tonight. And the Sox have been really good. The White Sox have been winning games, man. They are still lurking. Houston's obviously a great team, as we know. But I will take Chicago at home on the run line. So +1.5 runs, only paying -140. Those are my best bets. Brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. We'll leave you on some positive news. Yusei Kikuchi has officially been removed from the starting rotation.
Wow.
Now, not removed from the roster, because he is officially a bullpen arm, but there you go. Yusei Kikuchi officially to the bullpen. We'll leave it at that. Boys, the both of you are back tomorrow.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Canada pregame up next. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.